In an interview this week with Israel's Channel 2, President Obama said he thinks an Israeli-Palestinian peace deal is unlikely during his remaining time in office.
I think Prime Minister Netanyahu is somebody who's predisposed to think of security first, to think perhaps that peace is naive, to see the worst possibilities as opposed to the best possibilities in Arab partners or Palestinian partners. And so I do think that right now those politics and those fears are driving the government's response.
That part of an interview with Israel's Channel 2. Well, one of the partners President Obama was talking about is Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, who has no clear successor. And some are beginning to wonder what will happen to the peace process, not just after President Obama leaves office, but after Abbas leaves office. Joining us now from Washington are Gaith Al-Omari, a senior fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy and former advisor to the Palestinian peace negotiation team, and Neri Zilber, a journalist and adjunct fellow at the Institute. They're co-authors of the article After Abbas and Abyss in Foreign Affairs. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Good to be with you, Jeremy.
And let me just pick up on what President Obama was saying there. What do each of you think is the prospect for some kind of a deal, maybe a two-state solution, being reached before the president, President Obama, leaves office? I'll start with you, Neri.
Well, I think the chances of that are slim to none. I think both the president and most observers of this particular conflict don't believe that any kind of final negotiated solution is possible within the next year or two or perhaps even longer. So what the president said in his clip, I think, is correct. Baby steps and an improvement of the overall atmosphere is what's needed more than anything at this moment.
Gaith, do you agree with that?
I fully agree. I think a chance for a full peace deal is almost non-existent. Yet that doesn't mean that there is nothing to be done. There are many things that can be done on the ground to stabilize the situation, to stabilize the situation in Gaza and deal with the humanitarian situation. But we will not see a peace deal in the foreseeable future.
Okay. Well, the two of you have focused on something that is a bit more long term, which is what happens to the peace process post Mahmoud Abbas, the leader of the Palestinian Authority. And how big do you think that issue is with all of the things that are standing in the way of peace in the Middle East? Gaith?
I think it is a major issue because as we have it right now, President Abbas has been systematically making sure that he has no successors. And there is a concern that after he departs the scene, we will end up with either a collapse or even if not a collapse, a protracted succession battle that will create paralysis and even possibly a breakdown in the Palestinian body politic. And without having a stable Palestinian system, it's very hard to see how we can reach a peace deal.
And we should remind people, by the way, that he was elected back in 2005
for a four-year term,
and yet he's still there 10 years later.
To a large extent, because he has found it convenient to remain in power, and the international community, as the focus has shifted towards high diplomacy and peace negotiations, and as the tension between President Obama and Prime Minister Netanyahu took center stage, the world ignored domestic Palestinian politics. And so Abbas finds it easy for him to maintain his power, and he finds no pushback from the international community or from the region.
Neri Zilber, why is there nobody standing in the wings waiting to replace him?
Well, I think what Gaith said was absolutely right. They've systematically kneecapped most possible successors to Abbas. Also, it's worth mentioning that the whole process itself is if not collapsing, then by design meant to stymie any kind of potential successor. They were supposed to, at the very least, nominate a vice president at some point last year in an internal Palestinian Fatah Party Congress. That never happened, and this Congress, which is supposed to potentially pick a vice president and re-energize the dominant party in Palestinian politics, has been delayed constantly, and in the foreseeable future will likely not take place.
So what happens then? Let's say Abbas dies. What happens then?
That is the big question, and one of the reasons why we wrote this article, because we think that it should be an issue that more people following this conflict should be focused on. it could be anything from the collapse of the Palestinian Authority to a protracted leadership battle in Ramallah to even schisms on the ground between battling, I don't want to say warlords, but battling people from various regions, various leaders within the Palestinian Authority.
Do you see, Gaith, if there is a shift in power, that the shift would go to Hamas, that they would be the ones that would benefit post-Abbas?
Very unlikely in my view. Hamas itself is facing serious internal issues. It has internal tensions and splits within the movement. But also Hamas, as part of the wider Muslim Brotherhood movement, has to contend with the regional trends that are working against the Muslim Brotherhood movement. And I just don't see the West Bank's main neighbors, Israel and Jordan, allowing for a Hamas government to emerge on that territory. That would be a security challenge or a threat to both Israel and Jordan, and they will not allow it. More likely than that, I would see a fragmentation of the Palestinian political system in the West Bank and the potential for what Neri mentioned, which is, tension that might end up being violent tension between various Palestinian factions and players.
And what would that mean for Israel, Neri, if that were to happen?
Well, it would mean for Israel instability in the West Bank, up to and perhaps including Israel itself taking measures to stabilize the situation, which more than anything would be costly for Israel and obviously costly for the Palestinian people themselves.
Measures meaning another invasion?
Invasion or perhaps a movement of forces into key areas, perhaps Israel picking a player from within the Palestinian body politic to support, which more than anything would be unfortunate for the Palestinians and the Palestinian people, as they should have a say in who leads them.
Well, take us back to the last time there was a change in leadership after the death of Yasser Arafat. How did that all work out?
It was an exceptionally smooth process. Within an hour and a half, the successor was anointed. It was very clear at that point that there was going to be one of two individuals. The leadership of both Fatah and the PLO agreed that Abbas was the better candidate. And within a very short period of time, he was anointed and the transition was clear. There was a 60-day period in which interim president was taking care of things until elections happened. But there was no doubt, once Fatah and the PLO agreed on Abbas, that he will be the next president.
I just want to put this in the larger context, finally, of what's going on in the entire region. You have instability, obviously, in Iraq and in Syria with the rise of ISIS. You have Egypt adjusting again to a new government and putting former leaders on trial. You've got a lot of changes happening in the region. How does what's going on in Israel and with the Palestinians fit into this larger picture right now?
Well, I think it's part and parcel of what we're seeing in the region as a whole, although ironically, Israel and I would argue the West Bank are some of the more stable areas in the region. But that's why the Palestinian succession issue is of such great concern to people observing the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. In other words, one of the big lessons that we should take away from the past few years in the Middle East is that political systems and processes and leaderships are vitally important, and that the systems themselves need to be, you know, dealt with and ensure a smooth transition at the very top.
And I would say that the stability in the West Bank is illusory in many ways. I think what we've seen from the Arab Spring or Arab Troubles, or call it what you will, is the importance of legitimacy. If you have leaderships and governing structures which are not seen as legitimate by their public, the chance for a breakdown, the chance for internal strife is extremely high. And that's, I think, why Nira and I wrote this article, to show that there is a need to start a process to create a legitimate succession process and succession modalities. Otherwise, we might end up with the same kind of collapse and the same kind of fragile governments that we have seen elsewhere in the region. And that's in no one's interest.
Gaith Al-Omari, a senior fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy and a former advisor to the Palestinian peace negotiation team, and Neri Zilber, a journalist and adjunct fellow at the Washington Institute. Thanks both for joining us.
Thank you.
Pleasure, Jeremy.